All right, let's turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I suppose it might be one of the most important passages on eschatology or prophecy, whichever word you like. If you're a good theologian, you call it eschatology. If you're just like us, you call it prophecy. It's probably one of the most important passages. It's one of the clearest passages. Most of us have trouble handling the book of Revelation. Some of the wizards know how to twist all around and bring it out in some nice ways, but for most of us, the book of Revelation is a little bit of a mystery. But this chapter is simple, direct, and it tells us some very important things about future events. Now, we saw this morning, of course, that chapter 2 introduces the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is the day or the time when God will again move in human history in a positive way to fulfill his promises and his purpose for mankind. How it will come in, we don't know. How it begin, we don't know. Whether it will come suddenly or gradually, I haven't any hope to say yes, I can't hazard a guess. But what is true is that the folk who live in these times will be very aware of what is happening when it comes. Now, as I said this morning, the people of Thessalonica were worried because they thought the day of the Lord was here and all those things that Paul had said about their loved ones weren't true. So Paul said, no, Luke, this day hasn't come. This day won't come until these things happen. And I'm going to try and help us this afternoon to see just what Paul has to say here. Let's read a few verses, shall we? Verse 3. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes. That's the RSV, that word there. Does that help you at all? The rebellion comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed. The son of petition who opposes and exalts himself against everything, every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. The apostle sees here the events of time moving on. And he sees the development of a completely different kind of civilization. Now, over the history of man, of course, there have always been arisings of men of different sorts. In our own day, we've had a man like Adolf Hitler, who rose up from nothing and who turned the world upside down for 6 years. Some people thought he was the Antichrist. I think he got pretty close to it in many ways, didn't he? We could go on thinking down the years, there's been Nero, there's been Napoleon, and other men of the kind who have shaken the world by their policies and what have you. But here we find the apostle sees a completely new kind of civilization developing. A civilization which comes under the authority of a particular person, I think it's a person, who controls a system of total lawlessness, anarchy, and rebellion against God. And this moves on. He sets up a whole situation in which this develops. Now, the day of the Lord covers the whole of this period. I said this morning, it's ushered in at the return of the Lord. It continues through in its development in the time of judgment that the prophets speak about through the millennium and on till the great eternity, the day of the Lord comes. And so the apostle begins to describe under the guidance of the Holy Spirit what this was all about. Let's have a look at it first of all. He said that day will not come unless first of all there is the rebellion, or the apostasy. Apostasy means turning back. If you read the book of Hebrews, you find there that Paul is warning the people there about the dangers of apostasy. There are five warnings, it says, in the book of Hebrews, and all those warnings are against the danger of turning back, and all that's involved in turning back. The early church was under constant threat of apostasy. All kinds of things were pressurizing on them to destroy the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And many did give up their faith. And so it goes on. That kind of thing has developed all down the centuries of time. Now what we see here is a situation of total rebellion and apostasy. The whole worship of Jehovah is abandoned in both religious and political realms. The man of lawlessness and a system of total anarchy. Now John in his epistle tells us, of course, that lawlessness isn't something new. The spirit of lawlessness has been in the world from the very beginning. It began in the Garden of Eden. We never understand the mystery of Satan. We can't comprehend how it came about or why God allowed it. That's not for us to know. But we do know this, that way back there when God placed those people in that situation, they had to make that choice. Why did they choose against God? Why did they choose the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in preference to the tree of life? The simple word is, they were deceived. They were deceived. And who deceived them? Satan deceived them. That's how it all began. It began with deception. And they swallowed the lie. They swallowed the lie. And they rebelled. Now, that's the beginning of human history. That's how it all began. And that system has been going on, increasing in speed, all the way down the centuries of time. Increasingly, people have been in rebellion against God. Satan has continued to deceive. I think I quoted the verse yesterday, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul says, the God of this world has blinded the mind of those that believe not, that the light of the gospel of the glory of God should shine in and they should be saved. So it's not a new thing. Lawlessness is not new. Antichrist is not new. It's been a developing picture all down the centuries. And at Calvary, we see the rebellion in full light. Satan is in total rebellion against God and his Christ. Now, we must expect that from time to time, we're going to see big shifts in that area. And in our day, we have a very definite movement against God. The doctrine of humanism, which began in the last century, has gathered tremendous momentum. And I would say that 70% of our present government are humanists. That's not an exaggeration, I think that's a pretty good estimate. They're humanists. What is a humanist? A humanist, one who believes in the doctrine of man. Man is in the ascendancy. Man has the power to order his own future. And man ultimately will save the world. The doctrine of humanism is the doctrine of man. Don't mix it with humanitarianism, that's a different thing altogether. We all ought to be humanitarians. But the doctrine of humanism is the doctrine that proclaims man as God. See, way back in the Garden of Eden, Satan said, you shall be as gods. Satan himself, we believe, aspired to be God. I will set my throne in the heavens. And that's the things that he deceived men about. You shall be as gods. And I sometimes know you have to be God, don't you? Especially when you're dealing with kids. You almost have to be God to know the answers. But that's what it's about. You see, just think if it could be possible that you could be as God. Whoa, think what you could do. And Satan made this suggestion to these people. You shall be as gods. And they took the bait. The doctrine of humanism denies the existence of the living God and proclaims the Godhead of man. Man is God. And man himself becomes the object of self-worship. He worships himself. The doctrine of humanism is a very pernicious and dangerous doctrine, and it is spreading extremely rapidly throughout our society, especially amongst the intellectuals, the universities. That's the place where it all begins, and that's where it is. I remember my girl was at New South Wales Uni studying medicine, and she was trying to witness as a Christian. And she was in a lecture one day, and the lecture was ridiculing Christianity. And she turned round to this group of students and she said, "How many of you are Christians?" 9 of them put their hands up. And she looked with disdain and said, "Poor things, poor things." She couldn't imagine there were 9 people there studying medicine who are intellectual people who could believe in the existence of a God. That's the hotbed of humanism. Our universities, if your children are going to university, watch them, guard them with your life. Universities are full of seditious teaching. They're there to teach the other sciences, but they all preach humanism. I can speak from experience. I've had 3 kids through the university. So you see, we can see a movement in the world today that is gathering momentum. Man is in the ascendancy and God is being put down. When did you last see a program on your television that even gave credence to God? I listen to these wonderful programs on the world around us. They're fascinating. But what mystifies me, they talk about the mysteries and the wonders of it all, and they say, "Isn't Mother Nature wonderful?" And you sit back and feel sick, don't you? That's it, that's the way it is. The whole concept of God is suppressed in our media. There is no reference made to it at all. Now, I'm not wanted to say that this is the end picture, but this is how it's developing. And this is how it will develop, I'm sure. It will develop by a growing impact and development on the lives of the people, and gradually through the powers of the media and their extremely strong powers. Satan is deceiving the masses of people into believing that there's no God, there's no hereafter, there's no devil. Man, science is the answer to everything. Technology will spell out all our needs. We don't have a God. So the first thing the apostle points out here very strongly, that will be an age of complete deception. Now you parents who are big enough children, I say this to you from my heart, take great care of those kids as they're getting exposed to tertiary education. The place is a hotbed of humanism and atheism. Deception is rife in the community. And Satan is the master of deception. That's why I say to you as a church, never underestimate him. He is very subtle. Now, the Lord Jesus said about these times in Luke chapter 23, he said, "The love of many will grow cold." And he said on another occasion, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith in the earth? This is the apostasy. Apostasy begins with religious people. When religious people turn away or turn back, I know a young fellow, he's in the same business as my son, he's a geologist. Very brilliant geologist. Very brilliant scientist. Brought up in a Christian family. Served the Lord with great fervor. Very keen Christian. I spoke to him recently, and I could just tell in the tone of his voice that something was wrong with his faith. Very hard to be wrapped up in those kinds of sciences and relate to the Word of God. Very hard indeed. But you see, the love of many will wax cold. And it's true to say that amongst believers today, there's a falling back of many believers. The love of money, the love of the world, are deceiving people. I find so many Christians are eaten up with keeping up with the Joneses, paying the mortgage. It's necessary, but to do it they have to give all. Satan is deceiving them to be something they can't afford to be. It's all very nice, but what happens? What goes? The spiritual life goes. Let's turn over to 2 Timothy, shall we? Just next on and have a look at the 2 Timothy and look a few verses there. Chapter 3, verse 12. Indeed, all who will live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. That was very true in the Apostles' time, as we said this morning. I believe, brother, it would become true for us. As time goes on, it may not be so much physical persecution, but it will be moral and emotional persecution that Satan will turn on. All who will live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue what you have learned. The Word of God shows to me here a continuing, developing, increasing evil in the world. Now that's been with the world from time immemorial. There have been worse times maybe than the times we live in today as far as evil was concerned. But when the apostasy comes, when this day dawns, it will be plainly, patently obvious. And the people who live at that time will be deeply aware of the growth of evil. Let's turn up to chapter 4 and verse 3. For the time is coming when the people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own likings and will turn away from listening to the truth and wandering to myths. A growing antagonism to the Word of God. Do any of you people ever listen to Dr. Schuller from the Crystal Cathedral? The Hour of Power, isn't it? You ever listen to him very carefully? The Power of Positive Thinking. It's good psychology, but I'll tell you, it's bad Christianity. You say, what's wrong with it? You see, Dr. Schuller and other men of his field, and it's a spreading evil amongst evangelicals, tell us that you, through the power of positive thinking, can shape your life. You have the power within you to do almost anything through positive thinking. Listen to him very carefully. I doubt if you will ever hear him mention the power and work of the Holy Spirit in a person's life. You see, the power of positivity may be excellent psychology, but it's basically humanism. You don't need God to think positively. If you can do it by yourself, what do you need conversion for? If you can do it through your own effort, why do you need the Holy Spirit? The Bible says you can't. Well, it's a subtle evil. It's a very intellectual type of evil. They're beginning to eat its way into evangelical fields and pulpits. There are many others we can stop and think about. We have to watch them. Satan is using the deception. The time will come, says the word, that they won't want to hear sound doctrine. They won't want to hear it. Of course, brethren do this now, don't they? We choose the preachers we like and let the others off, and we come to hear the preachers we like and stay home when we don't like. Is that right? It happens sometimes, but that's not the thought, is it? See, the age of anarchy and lawlessness is going to develop, and the man of sin is going to be revealed. Now, whoever or whatever the man of sin is, I'm not going to speculate. Many want to do, I can't. But obviously there's going to appear on the stage of world history, somewhere down the track, someone who will be the epitome of all that is evil. The promotion of evil. He will have authority and power given to him by Satan, and he will perform miracles. The same three words are used of him as are used of the Lord Jesus Christ. Miracles, signs, wonders. Peter uses those words of Jesus in Acts chapter 2. They're used here of this man. It was very hard not to be deceived. Don't believe all miracles that happen are not necessarily God-given. Satan can perform miracles. He's done it in the past. He's going to do it through this man in the future. And he will deceive the people. He will set up a kingdom. He will set up a civilization which men will appeal to men. It will offer them security. It will offer them a kind of peace. It will offer them prosperity. He will be everything. He will be a genius of a leader. He will have satanic power given to him. He will suppress all opposition. And he will bring everything under his control. And he will be the ruler absolute. But all that men have dreamed of, all that men have hoped for, will appear to be fulfilled in him. Read Revelation 13 sometime in your leisure. He will suppress opposition. He will restore a kind of peace like the Romans did, but the Roman peace in their time, they guaranteed peace through their armies. He will suppress all opposition. He will set himself up as God. Be respected like the Romans did, like the Roman emperors did. They commanded divine worship. And people will give him that worship. People will acknowledge him and give him that worship. You think back, those of you who remember, in the days of Hitler. Now Hitler really was a mere nobody. A mere nobody. But you know, he had a nation at his feet. They literally hung on his words. And he took the whole of that nation and he built up a force that the world has never seen. And all that nation committed to that one man totally. That's only a small picture, isn't it? But it happened. This will be the same thing multiplied by how many times, I don't know. But that will be the picture. The man of sin will be revealed. And he will bring in with him a civilization which will be anti-God, and but will be a genius of a civilization, and will be controlled ultimately by the power of Satan. And we're told in the Revelation that all the world wandered after him. It's not surprising, is it? When this happens, says Paul, when this begins to develop in your society, look up. This is Antichrist, the man of sin, the son of perdition, the lawless one, who opposes all that is of God. They're solemn words, but that's how it's presented here. Then notice what happens to the people. Why will the people swallow it? Well, I tend to think people will swallow anything. When I see what they swallow from politicians, I'm not in the least surprised. It always baffles me how people can swallow what politicians tell them, and they know jolly well they're not telling the truth. People are very gullible, aren't they? But this won't be mere gullibility. Notice what it says further down. Therefore, God sends them a strong delusion to make them believe what is false, that they might believe the lie and not the truth, who had pleasure in unrighteousness. If you read Romans chapter 1, you have a sad picture of the degenerate society in which we live. How does it begin? It begins by people, when they knew God, they glorified not as God, neither were they thankful. But they turned the glory of God into an image made unto man and beasts and creeping things. And then you go a bit further down the chapter, it says, and God gave them up. And God gave them up to dishonor their bodies between themselves. And then it says, God gave them over. And we find out in the chapter in Romans that the things that were evil became things that they found pleasure in and promoted. Why? Because God had given them a strong delusion. When men reject the truth, the only alternative is to believe a lie. And the lie is the man of sin. They will believe that he is the answer to their problems. They will accept the lie because they have no pleasure in righteousness. I can't help but feel that that's the kind of world we live in today, and more so because of the power of the media in our society. Every aspect of our media is governed and controlled. And you only get the things that they want you to get. You're only told the things that they want you to hear. You know that, don't you? I don't think I'm telling you anything new. But you know, it becomes very hard when it's kept repeated, repeated, repeated. I think it's an aspect of business, is it, John? If you repeat things often enough, people will believe it. Is that true? You know what about that. If you repeat things often enough, people will ultimately believe it. So the television blurs at you, blurs at you, blurs at you. And I sometimes say to my wife, "Do you ever listen to that?" "Oh, no," she says, "I don't listen to that." But when I go to the supermarket, I found she did. You can't help it, can you? It gets to you. And all the time, the television, the media, is putting into your mind what it wants you to believe. Those minds of ours are very vulnerable. And this is difficult for me to see how that can be used to twist the minds of people. See, today we're talking about the problem of AIDS in our society. The government's screaming out with the most wretched adverts telling us what to do. What they don't do is change the media programs between 9 o'clock and midnight into something decent. We wouldn't have to have the adverts at 12 o'clock telling us what to do. Well, don't do that. But people sit there and take it in. People buy filthy videos, they go and hire them. What for? Just because their minds are demanding it. And they're not bad people, they're nice people. Your neighbors next door, you're like, the God of this world blinds the mind, and God will send them the strong delusion, and they believe the lie. I think I could be safe to say today, without wanting to make predictions, and that's not my field, I can see a world being prepared. I can see minds being prepared to the power of our media to be open to anything that will come across ultimately. You and I have to be careful. Again, we have to be careful with our children, what we let them see, what we expose them to, because the media is undoubtedly manipulated by forces. And so the apostle goes on and develops his theme, and that's where he brings us to this point. God will send them strong delusion, and the whole world will come under the grip of this super enemy of God, into a blatant humanism, a blatant anti-God, and the whole world will wander after this man of sin. That's the way the world will go. And Paul says, when you see these things happening, when you see this real movement, then remember, that's when you can be sure the Lord is coming. The day of the Lord will come. When things reach the bottom, God will move in with power and glory and begin to change the whole face of human history by setting his Son upon the throne. But just finally, down to verse 13. But we're bound to give thanks to you, to God, to you, beloved brethren, because God chose you from the beginning, saved you through sanctification by the Spirit and belief of the truth. Praise God. Praise God for that fact. Here is a group of people, a Thessalonica, chosen by God, sanctified to the Spirit, set apart for Him, and they were His. Oh, let us hold fast to the truth, brethren. Let us be warriors for the truth. And let us guard our mind against the intrusion of the enemy. I read a book once called The Battle for the Mind. And I think it's one of the most serious things that's happened in our society today is the battle for the mind. Because whoever controls your mind controls you. And Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Guard your mind. Expose yourself to God's word. Expose yourself to prayer. They're the only answers for the subtlety of Satan. Don't forget, Satan will use every avenue to bring pressure on your mind to deceive you and to wean you from the truth. And the great apostasy comes in sadness when the love of many will wax cold and they'll turn away from the truth. May the Lord preserve you in Christ Jesus unto the coming of His kingdom and the appearing of our Saviour Jesus Christ the Lord. Let us watch and pray.